This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am your guest host, Doug Eddy, and I am here with my co-hosts, Kelly and Tyler. How are you guys doing today?
I showed up today, and you're not Tim.
I am not. I am not Tim at all.
It's like on Anchorman when Brick's like, you're not Ron.
Ron?
When Veronica takes over.
Yes.
You're not Ron. It's good to have you. Taking the driver's seat, seeing how the seat feels. How does it feel so far?
It's feeling pretty comfy, and I'm actually going to roll into something that's really cool. So the Dynasty Happy Hour is actually brought to you by the Sitter Start app. So have you ever been in a situation, it's 12:45, your team's lock at 1 o'clock, and you can't decide who you want to start? Do you want to start Isaiah Crowell? Do you want to start Emmanuel Sanders in your flex? You have no idea. Well, guess what? You can go to the Sitter Start app, which you can find on the Google Play Store or on Apple iTunes, and you can punch in those two names, and it's going to give you what their best option is to start. It's going to give you, all the different algorithms, their probabilities, and tell you what they think is going to be the best start. So if you need to flip a coin and go to the app and you can't make that decision, the Sitter Start app is awesome. I've used it before and I really recommend it. And we're glad to be brought to you by the Sitter Start app today. So that's pretty awesome. And we also have some things on the website, Tyler. You said we have the orange juice report. What's that all about?
Yeah. First, I feel like we kind of left Kelly in the dust.
Yeah, I got smoked there.
Kelly, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm here.
I was going to get back to him. Don't worry.
Oh.
You got to speak up, bro.
See, with a new driver, you don't know how they completely drive.
Yeah,
so you're in the back seat.
Yeah, I was
for dear life.
In the car, that's and my true. Foot just got ran over by the back wheel.
It'll heal. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
Yeah. But the Orange Report and the Orange Juice. First, I'll start with the Orange Report. The Orange Report is pre-draft. And a guy at FF Ghost, great stuff. I'm in a couple leagues with him. We chat back and forth. Awesome guy. I go to him for a lot of advice, and the pre-draft one is fantastic. He's got a new setup, a new look, and it's great. It's easy to read. Like last week I said, it's so easy I can read it. There's pictures, there's tons of things. And then the Orange Juice is pretty much, it's self-explanatory. It's post-draft and it tells players landing positions. He gives a little outlook. And it literally has three things, and it gives a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or kind of neutral. And this is like landing spot, draft position, chance of playing time. All the variables are there. And it gives his ranks of players that kind of stood out to him where they landed. It's very, very well priced. It's $5 for the Orange Juice, and it's, I think, $7.99 for the Orange Report. It's very cheap. Check it out. You won't be disappointed at all. And I'm sure a lot of people listen to this knows what it's about. So just go to the website, click the link. Great guy. A lot of hard work. I suggest you get it.
Awesome. Yeah. And orange juice pairs well with most of your breakfast meals. So that's always a win.
Yes. A good read.
Except for cereal. You can't drink cereal with milk and then drink orange juice. That's just weird. But outside of that,
yeah,
it works really well.
Depends on how hungry you are. I've
yeah.
been before.
I'm hungry, I'll eat just about anything.
Yeah.
Cereal's good, just don't do it on raspberry sherbet. Ask my wife that.
Oh, that's a mix.
I watched too much Chopped. I tried to, make her a nice dessert. A little raspberry sherbet, Honey Nut Cheerios on top. Chocolate syrup did not turn out. I suggest don't follow Chopped as much as you need to.
Hey, I appreciate the will to get fancy and try something new. So that's always good.
It did not turn out.
at all. So this week's episode is a Twitter sourced episode. So we are, Tyler tweeted out earlier about, you know, we had some change of direction for the episode and we wanted to know what everyone wanted to hear about today. So we've got three or four different topics that seem to be the most popular. And the first one that we'll get into, if you guys want to dive right in, was really the year two and three players that we believe are a buy or a sell. So we've got a list of actually quite a few of those year two and three players that we want to go over. You guys ready to go?
Yeah, right on.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
So we're going to roll into it. The first one, which was my recommendation. Yay, go me. The first one is Devonta Booker. So I'll start off because that's how I roll. So Devonta Booker for me is a dynasty buy right now because the Denver backfield, you've got CJ Anderson, who doesn't have a tendency to stay healthy, and I don't think he's really much outside of a limited game sample of being a great player. And then you've got the Jamal Charles, who they signed, who I think is probably more of a third down back, may not even make the team. They can cut him for practically no money lost on their payroll, which is always a good thing. And then Devontae Booker, he didn't do well last year, but this reminds me of a certain situation with Melvin Gordon in his first year where you saw him not really do all that great. You know, he didn't score a touchdown. Everyone was really down on Melvin Gordon going into year two, and look what happened. Now, I'm not saying Devontae Booker is going to be Melvin Gordon, but I think with the opportunity, Gary Kubiak said in the – or not Gary Kubiak, but was it Vance Joseph? Yeah. Vance Joseph, yep. The new Denver Broncos coach, came out and said that it's going to be an open competition at the running back position. So I think Devontae Booker, you know, if you drafted him last year, you probably got him with a second-round rookie pick, and I think you could probably acquire him for a third round rookie pick if someone's down on him based on the, you know, semi disappointing year that he had last year. What do you guys think?
I agree with your assessment there. Just if you can get him for a third round pick. For me personally, I think you're looking at him as a buy candidate just because of the situation there. CJ Anderson's not really a guy that you can think that he's a surefire thing. Jamal Charles is probably past his prime there. For me, I don't like Devonta Booker just as a player long term. I just think we would have seen some sort of flash last year. And I think when he had the opportunity to play, he did show some burst, but he fumbled in those situations at times. So for me as a player long term, I really don't like his prospect.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm actually with Kelly on this. I am actually selling if possible. I just sold a share of him today. I sold him, Jordan Matthews, and a third for Michael Crabtree and Amir Abdullah. And I liked it because I'm a win now team. I think Jordan Matthews is going to take a step back. And then I think Crabtree is going to help me in some good situational starts. And yeah, the next player is actually on the list. So I'll just kind of save him. But yeah, come to Booker. I'm kind of selling him. I'm not a believer.
That's fair. I just think he's a candidate. You can get him at a good price. And I think the talent's there. We saw it preseason and early in the season. And then he kind of faded off. And that line play wasn't very good either, so I think that might have been a part of it. Plus, quarterback play was questionable. So I like Booker at the right price. I mean, I like any player at the right price, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So sticking with the running back position, so Tyler, you just mentioned Amir Abdullah, and we'll come back to the second guy on the list, but you just mentioned Amir Abdullah, and I think everyone on Twitter right now is heavy into the buy Amir Abdullah camp. So obviously, you're a buyer of Amir Abdullah. So what was your thought process going through that trade for you, Tyler?
Well, I'm a buyer, but I'm not trying to get him everywhere. You know, I'm trying kind of maybe 2, 3, 4 teams out of 11. I'm trying to not get too heavy into it. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't hit me hard. I already have him in a couple leagues, and then I just bought him in this league. So I've got about 4 shares of him. And I just think the situation is so good. That line is beefed up. And week one, he had, I want to say, a total of 14 fantasy points or so. He had like 4 catches for 56 yards. He had 56 rushing yards and a touchdown. It was like 104 total yards. And it was a fantastic start. Everybody was like, oh, here it is. Here is the player we have been wanting to see. And, you know, he got hurt. I think injuries have severely capped his ceiling at the moment. And yeah, I mean, after this year, it's obviously done because they were looking at Mixon, they were looking at some other players, but they're giving Abdullah with this beefed up line another chance. And I think he can actually do it. I love the talent. I love them coming out electric, fun to watch. So, I mean, get your shares, hang on and enjoy the ride like we're having with Doug.
There you go. Kelly, do you own any Amir Abdullah in your leagues at all?
I do not own Amir Abdullah, and I kind of agree with what Tyler said there. It's almost like a lukewarm sentiment. You got to like that they didn't really go out and address that position in the draft, so they still have some sort of confidence. They beefed up the line. Anquan Bolden's gone, so you think that maybe that frees up maybe some more targets in the passing game as well. I'm with Tyler on this. I feel like I could be an investor in Amir Abdullah if the price was right.
Yeah, I find in the couple of the leagues that I'm in that I've kind of looked at Abdullah that the price is a little too high for me right now, because I think that buzz is getting pretty high. Not like preseason third round redraft high from his rookie year, but the price is pretty rich. I think most people are holding unless you really bowl them over with a great deal. So our next player on the
his rookie year, it was the cut was heard around the world.
Oh, it was crazy.
The move against the Jets. Oh, man. When everybody saw that against the Jets linebacker, it was done.
Yeah, we did a redraft league the third week of August. It was right after that game, and he went in the middle of the third round. And wow. I was just like, he went like a round and a half before Gurley went. And I'm like, what are we doing? So redraft is always fun, though. It's a home league, so some of the guys are like, they only watch preseason, and they don't know much other than that. So, but crazy things happen. So speaking of crazy things, so the next player on our list is Kenneth Dixon, who's serving a suspension to start the season. And I think Dixon is a pretty good buy candidate. You know, that's another team that didn't really do much at the running back position. They didn't draft a running back, so they're pretty much rolling with Danny Woodhead, who they signed as a free agent, obviously a third down back, and they still have Terrence West there. And then Buck Allen, remember him? Oh. Is he a thing still? Kidding.
Man,
I think Kenneth Dixon, a one-time thing. Yeah, a couple some weeks. So there's that. People remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
So Kenneth Dixon for me is a buy. What do you guys think?
I agree. It was the first name I wrote down when I was going through second year players. I feel like the suspension right now gets in people's heads, and
scares them off.
Yeah, if you give them a decent enough offer, I think you got a good long term player right there.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Bye. Not in sync, but yeah, you should totally buy Kenneth Dixon. I think you can get him dirt cheap, and I mean, for people who had him that were kind of hoping that he would be their running back two this year, I feel like they've gotten like stabbed in the back by a friend, and it's really upsetting them. And I've actually gone and bought from a couple owners in that aspect. So he's one of my favorite offseason buys. And yeah, that's all I got to say.
So quick thing on we're going to take a quick trip down Narrative Street. So I read a lot of fantasy analysis from all over the place. And one of the things that I remember was Matthew Berry went to the combine, and he was talking to Jim Harbaugh, and he asked him about Kenneth Dixon. He had nothing but great things to say. Now, I don't really put too much into coach speak, but Matthew Berry came away thinking that like Dixon is the guy there. So for what it's worth,
I think so. I mean,
me too. He's the most talented back there by far.
Yeah, we all know what Woodhead is. We've known this for years, but he's a great player to own. Mm-hmm. We all know what Terrence West is. People need to stop making Terrence West a thing. It's ridiculous. Just stop.
Yeah, that ship is about ready to sink.
Yeah. So we are all over buy for Amir Abdullah, and I am all over sell Jim Cramer. Sell. Philip Dorsett. I am not
buying. That was really good, by the way.
Thank you. I am not buying Philip Dorsett at all. I am hard sell all day long. They got Kamar Aiken. They've got the GOAT, Dante Moncrief. They've still got T.Y. Hilton. They've got a couple good tight ends there. There's no way Philip Dorsett has any run for me, even on the deepest of dynasty leagues. I'm sorry. Bye-bye.
I'm with you all the way on that, Doug. I never liked Dorsett even coming out as a rookie. He hasn't fired. I don't think he's going to fire. He just seemed like a speed threat, and they just haven't used him in that way. When they drafted him, I was just like, this is kind of redundant player.
End of the first round.
Yeah, a lesser version of what they already had. So, yeah, if you could sell him for a bag of rocks and a fourth round pick, go ahead.
What kind of bag of rocks are we talking about?
Every time I think of him, I just think of him busting through, stealing the stereo. People still steal these, you know.
I'm going to tell you something you don't know about me, Joe Rogan. I smoke rocks.
But you guys can sell him for a bag of rocks in a fourth round. I will take him for a fourth round. He's still a first round pick. The metrics are there.
From a previous GM, mind you.
Mm-hmm. I may be a fool, but this guy is better than Tavon Austin. And people are giving up fourth rounders for Tavon.
I'm better than Tavon Austin. Come on.
But Philip Dorsett on a good offense can have a role. Be honest with yourself. For a fourth rounder, you're telling me?
He had all the opportunity in the world last year. And what did he do with it?
You guys are telling me, though? You guys are telling me you wouldn't take him in a throw-in in a deal with that much upside. He may have been a first rounder, you know, with a different GM, but he was tagged for a second or third rounder.
I don't know.
His metrics show him as Brandon Cooks. I don't see that.
No.
He may be a poor, poor man's Brandon Cooks if he can put it all together. I will take that shot for how cheap he is. So he's a buy for me.
He's a faceless poor Brandon Cooks. I don't know. Let's move on because I don't like talking about Philip Dorsett. It makes me ill. So moving on to another receiver who was all the rage last year, probably spent a top 5 or 6 rookie pick on him. And then all of a sudden, Brandon Marshall comes to town. Evan Engram comes to town. And everyone is off the Sterling Shepard train. To me, this has knocked his price down enough where I want to buy him. Talk to me. What do you got?
No, okay, I just want to throw this in. Speaking of Evan Engram, I feel like I own him everywhere. Like I had to trade off a share the other day just because I have like 6 shares of this guy.
You're too heavily weighted on him.
He was just best player available, and like a couple were into the second round, and I'm like, yeah, I have to take him. So like I just ended up having Evan Engram, and I'm like, I kind of felt weird about it. Like this could be a player that is one of those cursed players that doesn't do well and ruins all my teams. So yeah, I actually a little small banter there. I traded him for Kareem Hunt and Pierre Garçon in a home league.
Oh, that's right. I remember you talking about that. I like that deal for you.
Me
and Garçon
too.
Throwing his cash money.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Shepard right now is a great buy opportunity. I mean, everybody sees the writing on the wall with all the moves the Giants have done, but there's no guarantee that Engram automatically just takes Shepard's slot role. I mean, they technically want him to be a tight end, but they could, you know, for me, he's such a tweener player. It's going to be interesting to see how that coaching staff does it, and we really don't know until we see the product on the field. Shepard, you could get him cheap right now, and Shepard could still be the slot guy and still getting decent volume.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Brandon Marshall's 32 years old.
Yeah, I mean, and with Engram, like, what is he? What is he? Is he a butt hair? Is he a ball hair? Or is he between? Like, you just don't know.
So he might be the taint, is what you're saying? If he's in between? And the technical term for that is perineum for all you kids out there that don't know.
Well,
so
you're welcome.
So in that offense, Evan Engram is the taint of the offense.
He could be the taint of the offense.
He could be taint, or he could be some nice ball of the offense. For somebody.
The Giants are trying to make him an ass, but he's more balls.
Can he be somewhere in
between? We've kind of got a.
Yeah, this is getting weird.
But no, with Shepard, he's tough for me, and if he's at the right at the right price, I will buy. But to be honest with you, I'm looking to sell. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, what would you ask for him? Because like I'm in the buy camp, so
I would need a early second to late first.
I think an early second, I would pull the trigger on in a second on that.
I would do that because most drafts I've seen, I mean, it was like mid to late first. So you're getting him out of value.
Down. I mean, I, for that. If Juju fell in a draft and somebody offered me that pick, I think I'd rather have Juju than Shepard.
Yeah, he was working out with Antonio Brown. Woohoo, good things.
Yeah, that's a good teacher to have.
Yeah, I would say so. Yes. All right, so let's move up to Minnesota, up in Tyler's neck of the woods. And I know this player is, you can get him, compared to what his draft price was as a top 3 or 4 pick last year, and most likely the 1-2, I think, is Laquon Treadwell. What are you hearing up there in Minnesota? The Vikings just signed Michael Floyd, and everyone went, red alert, what's going on with Laquon Treadwell? Tyler, what do your connections say?
Well, to be honest with you, it's not the greatest. Zimmer hasn't really spoken too highly of him. Of course, when Michael Floyd comes in, Zimmer speaks highly of him. saying he's got, you know, he's got his rehab going on. He's got all of his connections up in Minnesota, and he's got, you know, it set up to where he can work out with the team. Michael Floyd is actually a buy for me, if anybody wants to know, because he's back home.
He's free. You know,
it may be the hometown. Yeah, he's pretty much free. He might be on waiver wires, but yeah, I love Michael Floyd. Treadwell, Zimmer is the type of guy that if you work hard and you work on your, Zimmer's going to see it. And the fact that Zimmer's not seeing that, it scares
me. Is he going to see it though? Didn't he have his eighth eye surgery recently?
Wow. Jesus. Come on now.
What? I'm just Zimmer's, being factual.
Zimmer's a great guy. You can't talk bad about
Zimmer. Love Mike Zimmer. I love Mike Zimmer.
No, and with Treadwell, I saw videos of him working out. He's working hard. But the thing that bugs me is Randy Moss and Chris Carter have both came up to him and said, hey, let me teach you. You can come work with me. Treadwell has denied both of them. The other player to do that, Cordarrelle Patterson. Zimmer has actually talked to Moss and Carter about working with him. And it was with both Patterson and Treadwell. Both of them have declined working with him. So, I mean, take that as you will with a grain of salt or anything, but that means a lot to me that he's actually being like, no, I'll do my own thing.
Do you think it's a passion? Like,
you're
for
having
the game
two Hall of Fame. I don't know, but with his workout videos, he's wearing the backwards hat again. Oh. So
interesting.
Yeah, for me, Treadwell's a sell. Still, I just seen him traded in a league I was in for 2 seconds way in the future. I think I'd rather have the 2 seconds. I don't put any stock on him turning this around and living up to his draft value.
Yeah, I'm also
second. I'll do it. If it was a 19 second, I'd do it.
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's limits to saying no, but he's one of those guys where I'm really just like, oh, give me Michael Floyd for
value, you know,
bag of rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so let's go. So Tyler, I'm going to put you on the spot. Bag of rocks trade: Michael Floyd or Philip Dorsett?
Michael Floyd. Yeah, I'm a Notre Dame guy. I'm sticking to him. I've loved Michael Floyd since he's come out. Oh man, I love me some Michael Floyd.
Nice. Yeah, he had a nice crackback block for the Patriots, and that was about it. Thanks, Mike.
He had a nice touchdown catch too.
He did against Miami. That game was like elite, and everyone was so pumped up on Michael Floyd, and then he was inactive because we didn't really need him. But well, I digress.
That was the hardest I've seen him go at a play. Like, I've seen him in Arizona for years, just kind of like half-assing it.
Yeah,
well, and then with that play with the Patriots. Holy cow, I was like, that is what he could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when he like broke three tackles and literally powered his way into the end zone, I'm like, oh my God, this is him. This is who I wanted him to be.
I was excited. And then, the excitement drifted away.
He celebrated that touchdown for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So we're going to move on to another receiver from last year's class who was drafted in a similar position a little bit after Treadwell. And pretty much redshirted his first year. I think he ended up the season with single-digit catches. But he's in a potent offense. There's been reports this week that he's looking healthy and he's looking good. And that's Josh Doctson. So what have you guys seen from a Doctson price for anyone that's selling him? Are you guys buying? I think I would actually buy Josh Doctson in leagues where I could get him for a late first this year. I think I would be okay with that, actually. I think his prospects with Kirk Cousins in that offense, even with Terrell Pryor in town, I like Josh Doctson. I liked him through the whole draft process last year, so I'm not down on him. It was an injury. It wasn't like Treadwell, who was healthy and was just inactive and had one catch all year. You know, they featured Doctson in a couple of those games. He had a couple long catches and looked really good, and then unfortunately the Achilles was just an issue for most of the season, and they had to put him on the IR. But, you know, I think if he comes back healthy, definitely the outside role across from Terrell Pryor – with D-Jack's gone, Garcon gone. There's a lot of targets up for grabs with Pryor, Crowder, Doctson, and obviously you have Reed. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. I'm buying Doctson, though. What do you guys say?
I'm with you there on a buy for Doctson. I was pretty close to actually sending a Doctson owner in one of the leagues I'm in today. I was going to offer him Kamara and somebody else for him. And then just in the league I am, running backs are kind of more valuable than other positions. I have a ton of wide receivers, so it's more just trying to get a little bit better at the wide receiver position. So yeah, I'm in the buy camp on Doctson. It's just a matter of trying to find that right price for him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, with me, it's a borderline buy, kind of the same as Abdullah. I don't want to own him too much, but I'd like to have some shares of him because the upside is there. He was a lot of people's favorite receiver last year, you know, 102, 103. But yeah, I mean, he's got tons of upside. TCU, he destroyed his senior year. So he's still got all of that. Hopefully he didn't lose any explosiveness with his lower leg injuries, but I'm willing to take the chance in some leagues.
Gotcha. Let's stick in Washington. We're going to talk a little bit about their backfield with Fat Rob. So I actually have a Fat Rob story that I can share with you. So I was at an autograph show in New Jersey a couple weeks ago. And if you bought a weekend pass, there was a couple free autograph tickets. One was Eli Apple and one was Rob Kelly. So I decided to get Rob Kelly's autograph on a football. So we were one of the last people that there at the table to meet him because my buddy was getting Kirk Cousins' autograph and another buddy was getting somebody else. So I went up to Rob Kelly and I said, "Hey, Rob," I said, "hey, it's nice to meet you. Really cool, chill dude." I said, "Hey, you ready for some competition?" I said, "Samaje Perine is going to bring it." And Fat Rob said he better put his hard hat on. So I was like, "All right, I like that." I said, "That's pretty good." So I think Kelly's ready to compete. But I think right now with all this Samaje Perine hype, you know, supposedly the Redskins had him as their fourth running back on the board and they drafted him in the fourth round. And it sounds like that's the guy they wanted. So are you in the, I know there's analysts are in one of two camps. It's either Rob Kelly is going to lose his job to Samaje Perine and he's not that good, or Rob Kelly is a potential buy low in dynasty because they think that he could keep the starting job. So Kelly, wow, Kelly with Rob Kelly, let's do this. What do you think, Kelly?
I'll try to talk him up here. I mean, you hit on it right there. He better bring his hard hat. And that's how he got in the mix last year. He ended up supplanting Matt Jones because I noticed him in training camp just cleaning up blocks, keeping that pocket clean. And he got in the game and ended up taking that job because it was very good in pass protection there for Cousins. He was very serviceable as a running back. I feel like this year, Rob Kelly and P. Ryan are going to, I think it's going to be a little bit more committee than people think. People want to anoint P. Ryan just because of the tape. I feel like he's going to have to earn it with a coach like Gruden. So I don't know that makes him a buy candidate for me because we are playing Dynasty here. But if I could get him on the cheap for a one-year rental.
If you're a win-now team and he's like your running back four, I'd be cool with that.
Nope. Sell. That's all.
Boom. Done. Look at that. I like the pointed analysis by Tyler there. Get him out of here.
Hashtag analysis. Get him out. Hashtag analysis. Whatever you can.
Gotcha.
P. Ryan's taking over.
I am on the Samaje hype train. Choo-choo, let's go. I have a rookie draft coming up in the middle of June for my Dynasty Home League that I won last year, and I've got the 1-5, 1-6, 1-11, 1-12. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
You're getting him somewhere.
I am getting, and I would, depending on what happens at the 1-6, I have a lot of running back needs in that league, so I might even pull the trigger there because I like them that much. Might be bold, but you get your guys, right? That's how we roll.
Yep, got to get your guys.
So speaking of guys, I believe the next guy, you're a big fan of this gentleman, aren't you, Tyler? Tevin Coleman? You like Tevin Coleman, right? Well,
he plays for my team. Of course I do.
You know that he was the starter once, right?
Yeah, and his first game starting, he went 20 for 80. And everybody's all hyped up about it. I'm like, that's 4 yards a carry. I don't see the explosiveness everybody was thinking he was going to have.
And then boring old Devonta Freeman took over, and he's been a top 8 running back 2 years in a row, and he was the number one in 2015.
Oh, I love Devonta Freeman. But when it comes to Tevin Coleman, he is still a buy for me. He may be a little pricey, but the coaching change might scare you off a little bit. Don't let it, because Tevin Coleman's still that home run guy. He showed last year he can catch a ton of balls, and he's going to do the same. Devonta Freeman's going to get his. Coleman's going to get his. But in the off chance Devonta Freeman doesn't sign his deal, Tevin Coleman's going to be the starter again. And it still scares me, and that might be why Brian Hill was drafted in the 5th round, because they're also nervous about Freeman. But in the off chance that happens, Coleman right now may be cheaper than what he is next year. So he is a buy for me.
I agree with Tyler with that. I mean, just the contract situation right there. I like the player. I think he's a buy if you can get him at the right price. You touched on it a little bit there. His price tag's a little high, so you got to be smart about it. But yeah, he's a buy over sell for me.
What would be the price for Tevin Coleman for you guys to get him on your roster?
I think you can get him right now with rookie fever kind of going on. I think you can get him for an early second, and I would do that.
Really?
I was thinking somewhere in the first.
Yeah, I would think that'd have to be at least a first round pick. You know,
if it's a late first, give me him over the likes of Kareem Hunt. Take him.
I would say the 1-8 for me is after that big six and the 1-7, there's, you know, a potential. I think anything the 1-8 or later, I think I would pull the trigger on Coleman.
Yeah, around there. I mean, I've got OJ Howard at 6, Mike Williams at 7, and then Kamara at 8. And it's a toss up between him and Kamara, because I think Kamara and him are kind of the same player. So that's pretty much a toss up.
Gotcha. So speaking of toss ups, a great segue. The San Diego passing offense is a complete toss up now that the San Diego Chargers drafted Mike Williams with the 7th overall pick. So we're going to talk
Diego?
A little bit. Yeah. Oh, Los Angeles. Damn it.
Got him.
Son of a bitch.
Nailed it.
If I had a shot, I would take one. Yeah, scoreboard.
Who's got the scoreboard? Who's got the overall podcast scoreboard for whoever says San Diego for the Chargers now?
I don't know.
Somebody has to.
Well, we'll have to keep track.
Mark one for Doug.
So let's talk about Tyrell the Gazelle Williams. I think most people are down on him after they added Mike Williams. Just a lot of mouths to feed. So you've got Keenan Allen coming back from his ACL surgery. You've got Mike Williams, obviously a lot of draft stock put into him as a top 10 pick. You've still got Dontrell Inman, who just had some surgery, so he should be fine. You have Hunter Henry there in the passing game, and we can touch on him too if you guys want to just lump them together, because he's a second-year guy that we want to hit too. Who am I forgetting at a wide receiver that the Chargers have?
Travis Benjamin.
Ah, yes, T. Benji. That's right. So I think Tyrell Williams is actually a pretty decent buy for me. I like his skill set, and I think if it's not necessarily, you know, you think dynasty aspect, if he goes to another team, he can be a really solid number two wide receiver, a tall, lanky, he's got speed, you know, he's good in the red zone. I think I would buy Tyrell Williams for like a late second round pick. I would be okay with. What do you guys think?
I'm in agreement with you there. You exactly hit on it. I still think he early in the season, he's probably going to do some volume. So maybe this isn't the window to get him in. I think maybe once Mike Williams starts to take over more for him, because a lot of people think it's right away. I still feel like Tyrell Williams is going to get more of that work early, and then it's going to transition to Mike Williams as the season goes on. I feel like during the season is when you could pick him off for, you know, second, third next year from a team that's frustrated.
Sure. It's a good call.
Yeah. With me, I would say late second, early third, but I'm not going to pay anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Williams is a very talented guy, and the draft stock shows that San Diego wants to use him and use him sooner than later. I don't know where this talk from.
Got him.
Did I say St. Louis too? That's like a double.
Double got him.
All right. I will see you guys later. I'm going to go.
Update the board.
Yeah, go update the board. But yeah, I mean, they did the draft stock, and it just shows that they are going to use him earlier than later. A lot of podcasts will tell you, oh, you know, it's still Tyrell's job. Mike Williams is going to be a guy who sits back. No, you spend the 7th overall pick on him. They are planning on using him this year. I'm sorry. That's how the NFL works.
Yeah.
But he's a buy for me at the right price, and another guy where I just don't want to have too much of him. So,
sure.
I mean, he's a buy, late second, early third, slam dunk buy.
Yeah, and we'll stick with Los Angeles, like I said, with Hunter Henry. To me, he's a sell. I think he was some of the recent ADP data that I've seen had him as the 4th tight end off the board in dynasty drafts. And the drafting of Mike Williams, I don't know, that scares me off a little bit from Hunter Henry. He was very touchdown dependent. Antonio Gates is still there. I know you want to think dynasty wise, but I'm kind of, especially with this tight end draft class, I think Hunter Henry is losing value with the big three coming in. Plus, you know, you got your Gerald Everett's and some of the other guys that are coming into the league. So I'm selling Hunter Henry.
I'm in agreement with you though. That was one of my, off the top of my head, just trying to brainstorm, come up with guys to sell. And Hunter Henry's he played nicely as a rookie, you know, as that move tight end, you know, he did good volume, but we just touched on it. They brought in Mike Williams. They got everybody healthy. Keenan Allen's back. I feel like Hunter Henry's going to have a regression here in the second year just for targets alone. So for me, he's definitely a sell candidate. I actually sold him myself for, I forget the haul I pulled, but it was enough to, I think, move up in the first round and get a guy I want in a rookie draft. So yeah, I moved on for Hunter Henry and draft a different tight end or accumulate a different tight end in a different way.
Yeah, and I think the thing with
I think you guys are crazy. You guys are crazy.
I think the thing with Los Angeles too, so they got two offensive linemen. They got a center in Dan Feeney, and they got Forrest Lamp. And I think they're going to run the ball more.
Mr. Feeney to you, by the way.
Yes.
Mr. Feeney.
Mr. Feeney. I think they're going to, I mean, they were very pass heavy last year, and I think they're going to even it out a little bit more. And I think Melvin Gordon and whoever else behind him, Brandon Oliver, Kenneth Wheelbarrow, whoever he is, I think that they're going to run the ball quite a bit more than they did last year. Because that, here's my, I'm going to come out their prediction. I think the Chargers are going to win the AFC West this year.
Yeah, it's not that bold.
I don't think they're going to be one of the teams that's going to come out and win 10 or 11 games. I mean, look how many close games they lost last year. They've got an improved roster. I love the Chargers this year, but I'm still selling Hunter Henry.
That's crazy to me. If there's one thing you got to believe in fantasy, in dynasty football, it's death, taxes, and whatever Katie Flowers says. Whatever Katie Flowers says. And she says Hunter Henry is good. And I'm gonna go with her word. I'm actually trying to buy Hunter Henry anywhere I can, because I feel like with the addition of Mike Williams, he is also a forgotten man. And I think you can get him for way cheaper than you could this offseason.
I don't know.
There's
places where people are like, oh, they like the overthinkers, the people who are like, oh, Mike Williams is there. Melvin Gordon got all these catches. I mean, Tyrell Williams is still there. I mean, where is he going to get these catches? I mean, with Mike Williams coming in, he's going to have no touchdowns. Hunter Henry is going to be a top 10 tight end for years to come. And you guys.
Well, I think that we all know who the forgotten man at the tight end position is, and it's Will Tye of the New York Giants.
Who?
Exactly. So speaking of the New York Giants, I'm ripping up segues here left and right. Here's another player that I'm selling pretty hard, and it's Paul Perkins. I think his price right now is pretty high, and he doesn't do anything that really wows me. He seems like just a guy.
Anything about Wayne Gallman, I was going to say
I'm not a huge Gallman guy, but I could see where Gallman would overtake Perkins, because I liked Perkins watching him from the combine and some of his tape, but what he did last year, it just didn't translate to me. Perkins fan, and I'm staying away from that backfield if I can. I mean, they still have Shane Vereen there. They got Chandron as well, who they signed in the offseason. So Paul Perkins, to me, P squared, I am selling him all day long.
Perkins is like the family restaurant.
It's lukewarm food.
You have some pancakes. You go there trash. You're just like all happy you're there. Maybe, you know, and you're just like, oh, this is awesome. You wake up the next day and you got a huge stomach ache. You don't feel well. And that's exactly like when you start Paul Perkins. You're going to feel so good. You're having some drinks on Sunday. Paul Perkins, he's going to get 100, maybe 6 catches. And then the next day on Monday, you're losing by about 15, and he screwed you. Yeah. That is what's going to happen.
I love the analogy. I mean, it seems like it's on the nose, but it's perfect. It's perfect. Paul Perkins is just marginal at best.
He's lukewarm food.
Yeah. Perkins has great pancakes, though.
don't even try.
We don't have Perkins around here in the Northeast. They're pretty much all closed up shop.
Yeah, there's one left. One left about 8 miles away, and I'm rooting for that place to go down. They could easily find something better to put in.
Kelly's the only guy out there with the sign, close up shop. Yeah.
Is it because Kelly would prefer to go to Applebee's? Is that what it is?
No, don't even get me started with that.
Hey, if you want to be a chef, it's super easy. You just take the bag of frozen stuff and you dump it into the fryer.
And then salt it to death.
Then you insult it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So let's stick with the second year running back. So this guy came out of, I wouldn't say nowhere, but he was a fourth round pick last year in the draft, and had some opportunity behind Jeremy Langford, who was an interesting case study in players.
Doug, you could have opportunity behind Langford.
That's true. I could probably be a lead blocker for him. I'm big enough. But Jordan Howard, so he ended up second in the NFL in rushing yards. And I've seen some people that are like some of the industry drafts that I've looked into. I think J.J. Zacharyson took him in the second round of an MFL draft recently. But I've seen some people fade him that think he's going to be a one-year wonder. I actually like Jordan Howard quite a bit. I just think that his price is probably going to be a little high for me. What do you guys, have you guys seen any trades go down with Jordan Howard? And what's your take on this season?
I made one. I traded
Let's go.
The 101 for Jordan Howard and 106.
I don't mind that. Who'd you pick at 106?
106, I actually traded back. Like, okay. I got rid of it, actually, in a Zeke Elliott trade.
No.
It was 106, an 18 first, a 19 first and second, an 18 second as well. And then 106 and Ty Montgomery and Leonte Carew, just for Elliott.
You dirty swindler, you. Mm.
I like it's a home league. I needed running back, so instead of drafting him, I'm like, screw it. I'm trading for him. I'm sick and tired of taking shots. So I went big for Elliott, and then I was like, okay, Jordan Howard's a nice piece. Mm-hmm. I have Jordan Howard. I have Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray. I'm now stacked at running back. So
yeah, you definitely feel the need with that. So you're obviously buying Jordan Howard. Kelly, what's your take on Jordan Howard?
I had him more toward like his price tag's too high for me. Like I still like him as a player, but I just don't see how I could ever acquire him or be willing to give up the pieces to get into his ballpark. I feel like his price tag's too high. It's not that I hate the player, but I'm more sell than I would.
Yeah,
be
and for a guy that doesn't catch passes and most of your dynasty league is going to be PPR, it makes him a little bit riskier. I got him in the UDPL league that Tyler and I are in. Relatively late in the startup. I think I got him in it's a super flex and tight end premium, so players get knocked down a little bit. But I think I got him in the fourth round, which I was shocked that he was there at the time when I got Jordan Howard. So I like Howard. If someone came to me, I probably wouldn't sell him unless they pulled me over with a top three rookie pick. I might think about it. Like I said, I'm trying not to have rookie fever, but it's tempting sometimes because you want the shiny new toy instead of the toy that you put away for a week and forgot about. So
yeah, with Howard in the UDPL league, it was between Howard and Freeman for me, and it was kind of an easy choice there. But there's a little thought of it. I mean, I thought, you know, this guy could start learning to catch the ball. Yeah, they brought in Cohen. He'll take some catches, but I still think Howard will go up in catches. So that one shocked me. Yeah. The line is still fantastic. And I think Trubisky, if he's a starter, or Glennon, will help that offense more than hurt it.
I mean, anything's got to be better than Matt interception Barkley from last year. And he had some decent fantasy games on volume alone. But yeah, I agree. I think Glennon or Trubisky or Mitch Trubisky, as I like to call him, I think is a pretty decent upgrade over what they had last year. So do you guys want to do a little lightning round with some of these guys that we got left?
Yeah, let's just start going through them. Yeah.
All right, so the next guy, I already know what Tyler's answer is, and it's buy all day. It's CJ Goatsice.
Buy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sell. I'll sell because that price tag is nice and high, and I'm not a pro soul believer. Sell. My soul is sold. Get the hell out of here, CJ Prosise.
I have
Pete Carroll's not changing the stripes.
I have him in a salary cap league for $600K on a $115 million budget. So I'm not selling him, but if I was in a regular draft, regular dynasty, I would sell as well. I think that the hype is still up there, and there's a lot of mouths to feed, pun intended, in the Seattle backfield.
Well, one, you need to feed a lot, apparently.
Yeah, he needs to go to the fish market.
So we're going to go to a second-year tight end, and that is Austin Hooper. I am going to go and say bye, Austin Hooper. Jacob Tammy's dead, elite offense, like me some Hooper.
Bye. I agree.
And they drafted a tight end this year who has Eric Stauber, tons of athletic. Yep, tons of athletic ability, tons and tons of that athletic ability. He is going to take time. I think Hooper in that time will become the tight end that Atlanta will love, and Saubert will be a guy who turns into a good second option for him. So, yeah, he's a buy for me.
Yeah, anything's better than Levin Tulioliolo or whatever his name was.
Tackle, turn tight end, turn left tackle, turn tight end.
Yeah, turn him right round. That's what I say.
You don't like that kind of tweener.
So let's stick with
type of tweener. We don't even want to mention.
Yeah. So we're going to stay with the tight end position for the moment. And Tyler Higbee, I think the value for Higbee is down after they drafted Gerald Everett, but I think they want to run a lot of two tight end sets. So if you can find an owner that's willing to sell Higbee at the right price, I'll buy it.
I agree. I think he's a buy candidate. I like the fact that Goff sucks and he's going to have to throw to his tight end because of that mere factor.
So. Sure.
Yeah, with Higbee, you can't sell him, so you have to buy him. I mean, if you sell him, you're selling.
Yeah, you're taking a loss.
Yeah, so he's a buy for me.
Gotcha. So you're a Notre Dame guy. What do you say about Will Fuller?
I think Deshaun Watson has underrated deep ball, and I think Will Fuller will be a better Ted Ginn. I know it's not saying much. I've come to the facts that Will Fuller has trouble catching the ball, but just watch the Notre Dame tape still. I'm telling you, there's something special about him. He doesn't need to always go deep. He's really good on crossing routes. He's super fast. He's a buy for me. I think too many people are down on him after that last game they had where he dropped that probably Brock Osweiler's best throw of the year.
Yeah, it was the best one he threw all year, and he dropped it.
Yeah, and Will Fuller was – it was a perfect throw. Fuller dropped it. I think that is still in people's head, and I think you can get Fuller for pretty good price. If I can get him for a mid-second, I'm all over that.
The only place I want Will Fuller is in an MFL 10. Sell.
Yeah, I like the high option there. I'm the same with you right there.
All right, what do we think about Devontae Parker? A lot of buzz about him finally getting into shape, finally being committed. Is he the third year breakout candidate that we all want him to be? And if you were to buy him, what's the current price on Devontae Parker? I threw an offer out there this week in a league. I own Parker in that same salary cap league at $2 million last year of his deal. You can extend a player for 40%, yada, yada, yada. So he's still inexpensive. And I got turned down for the 1.7. I tried to get the 1.7 off the guy and give him Parker, and I got rejected.
Wow.
I would have done the same.
Okay. So you're buying.
I would have took your deal. I would have almost any of those wide receivers that were right there. I've never been a Devontae Parker guy. I question his work ethic, and it's obvious with me. So I think he would have at least shown us something by now. And it, to me, I don't think he's going to fire.
Yep. My last share I had of him, I sold in January. I sold him for Sterling Shepard straight up, I think. Okay. I'd rather have a safe player like Shepard than Devontae Parker, who is a huge risk. And they got Kenny Stills there that they gave money. I think I think he's a guy who has more talent than Parker personally. And I'm actually more on the buy Carew. We'll just lump them together because he's on the list. I'm actually on the more buy Carew than Parker. And I've actually done that in some leagues. I've totally given up on Parker, sold him high, went low on Carew. Yeah.
I got Carew for $1 in the Capitalist Pigs 2 auction.
Wow.
So the hate is out there for Carew. I have patience. I have enough roster spots to stash him. I love Carew's talent. So I am buying Carew. And I am selling Parker if I can and trying to get out of, if I can get a 1.7 to 1.9, I'd probably even settle for a 1.10 if the right player's on the board.
I'd rather have Juju. I would rather have John Ross.
Yeah.
That's bold. Agreed. But
I think the community hates John Ross for some reason. I don't know why.
I think they think he's one trick pony until he shows otherwise. Though. I agree. I think he's a little bit more faceted than some of these other guys are, but you got to show it and stay healthy.
Yep.
So we lumped a couple Dolphins together. So now let's lump a couple Bears together. Now you said risk with Devontae Parker, and I think this next name, Kevin White, is definitely a risky play because the guy hasn't been on the field. And the other Bear that I want to lump him in with is Cameron Meredith, his closest competition, who looks like he's going to be outside this year, where he played a lot of slot last year and actually really showed out. And Cameron Meredith won me some money in DFS, so shout out to Cameron Meredith. Thank you very much. but real quick for me, Kevin White is a sell, and Cameron Meredith is a buy.
I'm going to take the inverse of that.
Yeah, for me,
I would take the inverse. I think Kevin White's finally going to get healthy, and Meredith's on the outside. I'm opposite of you there, buddy. I'm going to just pray and hope Kevin White returns to health.
Can I just be in the middle and say whichever one is cheaper in a league?
I think Cameron Meredith would be cheaper.
That's debatable because there are some major Meredith fans and there are some major Kevin White haters.
That's true.
I mean, there's a lot of people that are prove it to me, and Meredith proved it. Yeah. Kevin White has all the athleticism.
I think Meredith also will tickle some people's pink, if you will, because he helped them during that stretch run, you know. The stretch run in the playoffs is when he had some of his peak games. I think I personally had him, and I moved him in the offseason. Just not bad.
No, when you say that, Are they hitting the Evan Ingram, or is it just a little away from the Ingram area?
I think they're in the front. Yeah, they're in the front area of the Evan Ingram.
I don't know how that works.
If my anatomy is on point, I think that's how it works.
I gotta watch what I say, Jesus.
But yeah, whichever one is honestly cheaper. They're both buys to me. They're both people that could really have an uptick. And yeah, whichever one you can get cheaper, I think is a deal.
So let's stay in Tyler's neck of the woods. We just talked about a couple of Bears. Now we're going to go to the AFC North and talk about Corey Coleman and Tyler Boyd. I think Coleman, for me, is a hard buy at the price that you might be able to get him at. I still believe in Corey Coleman quite a bit. And Tyler Boyd, I know a lot of people are fading him because they brought in John Ross. They just got Mixon. But I think Boyd's lost value, and I love him as a buy. What do you guys think?
I think Corey Coleman is a huge buy for me. I would pay the price for him. I love all the news that's coming out, his work ethic, his leadership, and Hugh Jackman Jackson has been awesome.
The Wolverine.
With his news, yes. And I love the news. Give me some Corey Coleman. I had a Brandon Cooks trade I was debating, but I had to add Corey Coleman. It's like Corey Coleman, Jordan Matthews for Brandon Cooks. And I just couldn't. I couldn't.
I would do that.
I couldn't do it. I think I had a little more on my side, so that might have pushed it. But I think Corey Coleman is the guy. I think he's the guy there. I think they brought in Britt to be a big body
solid
guy.
Number two, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Corey Coleman is going to be the one there. And this, whatever you want to say about Kessler or Kizer, the GOAT, one of those two is going to get him the ball. And trust me, it's going to be Kizer.
I'm with Tyler on this. I like Coleman as a buy. I feel like you can get Tyler Boyd on the cheap right now if you're looking for a long-term stasher. I'm not throwing away Tyler Boyd, and I feel like a lot of owners are just frustrated by the moves they made this offseason. I think you get Tyler Boyd on the cheap right now.
Yep, sure. Buy on Tyler Boyd.
Okay. So a couple more receivers, and we've got one other running back before we finish up this particular section. So the couple receivers, we could talk about them at the same time. One is Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs. And the next one, another Viking up in Tyler's neck of the woods, is Stephon Diggity. I think I own Tyreek Hill, and I got him dirt cheap. I picked him up as a free agent and then extended him in that league. And I have him in the UDPL, and I got him relatively cheap. I think I would actually buy Tyreek Hill. I buy into they're going to give him the ball all more. And I even like him more now that they drafted Pat Mahomes at number 10. Oh, yeah. 10.
That's what I was going to say. Him and Mahomes are going to make beautiful music together.
And Chris Conley, too. They're all going to make, they're going to form like this elite trio of awesomeness, the three of them together.
Conley and Hill are just going to run nines all day, and Mahomes is going to toss it up 80 yards. It's going to be
he's
like
just going to roll out and just beep.
Yeah. Like Madden when you see them coming up onto the line for press coverage, and you have like a big receiver that just gets around them, and you just tap O or tap box, just loft a deep pass to him. And if you have a fast guy, you're obviously going to go for a touchdown. That's what they're going to do.
Last year of Tyreek Hill running in the open field, there's no one around him for 15 yards, and Alex Smith just can't make the throw. And Tyreek Hill's like waving his arm like, throw it here, you son of a bitch, Ryan Gosling, lookalike, throw it here. And he can't. It's freaking terrible. I hate Alex Smith.
You don't say.
I'm Team Mahomes.
I like some Pat Mahomes. I think he is going to be a face of the NFL almost. I just have a gut feeling. He's going to be like, it's going to be Jameis, Andrew Luck, and then you're going to have
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, Mariota. And then Mahomes. Like, Mahomes is going to be the face of the Chiefs in no time.
I agree with you there on Tyreek Hill. I think I'd be trying to move Diggs if I could, but I don't feel like right now is the proper time to do so.
So it's like sell him after a couple big games, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he had a couple monster games. That Green Bay game last year was out of this world. And that was the height of his price. So if you sold after that, congrats. But to me, I mean, he's, again, another guy that gets dinged up. I liked him coming out of school. I actually watched a pretty decent amount of Maryland football, weird enough. And I like Stephon Diggs coming out of school, but I don't know. I would probably sell Diggs if I could. And I think I would probably sell him for, I think you'd probably get a late first for him.
Mm-hmm.
I would give,
in most leagues. And I think
in a Devy league, I gave 104 for Diggs. And I would do that every day. I love Diggs. I think Diggs is the 105 104, 105 in this draft.
That's rich.
I love Diggs. Buy him. Minnesota, he just fits that scheme perfectly. And I think him and Bradford have a good connection. And what you saw the first couple weeks up here in Minnesota with Diggs when he torched Green Bay on Monday.
Killed him.
That is what he is. He was dealing with injury the rest of the season, but played through it. He showed toughness. He showed his willingness to play through injury, which means a lot to me, because even when he's hurt, you still know you have a chance to play him. But when he's healthy, he is elite. And I think he is a poor man's Odell Beckham, but not by far. I think he has that athleticism. He's got those type of hands. I think Diggs is going, he's in for a huge year. So if you have a chance to buy him for a good price, go out and do it right now.
And I got to unzip my fire suit after that hot take. With Odell Beckham and Stephon Diggs. Ooh, boy. So you can say, Tyler, you're, ooh, yeah, dig it. Rest in peace, Macho Man.
Oh, Macho Man. Watch out, he's going to bring you the elbow drop from heaven.
That would hurt a lot. So the last player that we want to get to, and he was actually one of the guys on the, I participated in the Roto Underworld by Logasm, which I think is always a creative title.
Mine was that Matt Kelly does. I don't know.
Yeah, and mine was Ty Montgomery, and I was the only analyst out of all of them to pick Ty Montgomery as my buy low. I'm actually buying Ty Montgomery. I know they drafted Jamal Williams. I know they drafted Aaron Jones, yada, yada, yada. I think Ty Montgomery with a year off, not a year off, but a year in between to make the switch from wide receiver to running back, I think he was effective doing it in season last year, and now having a whole offseason as preparing as a starting running back in Green Bay, I think Ty Montgomery is a great buy because he's depressed. Because they drafted two running backs. So that's going to scare some people off. I actually traded in our dynasty league. I traded a 2019 and got Ty Montgomery back.
What'd you trade?
A 2019 fourth.
Wow. Wow. That's
also in that salary cap league. So he wasn't extending him and he was going to be a free agent. So I traded for him and I extended him, which put him at like 1.2 million, which is pennies. To get Ty Montgomery. So he's like my running back five now, and I'm stoked.
Yeah, I love him for a buy. I don't think people are on him as much because the Jamal Williams truthers are coming in full force. Even the Aaron Jones truthers. Tim.
And I love me some Aaron Jones.
Tim, we're talking to you. Doug, you're big on him too.
I am.
I'm an Aaron Jones believer as well.
I'm Team Jamal Williams.
Let's go.
Team Jamal Williams. So I have to admit, I'm rooting for Jamal Williams. But yeah, with Montgomery, he's got a very kind of poor man's McCaffrey floor to him. Like he's got a safe floor.
I'll
he's
going
to have a lot of catches. And when people are paying the moon for McCaffrey, you can get a cheaper option in Ty Montgomery. I don't get the whole thing. I'm not, as you can tell, I'm not as high on McCaffrey as I felt like I wanted to be, but I think I've come to realize I just can't do it with McCaffrey.
That's fair.
For me, I can't wrap my head around trying to go out and buy him, even at the value guys are. I just don't trust the way Green Bay does things with their running backs. I never really have. I had Eddie Lacy whenever he was a rookie and then moved on just because I didn't even like it how they used him then. And I understand it's a high volume offense, and if he still gets the kind of volume he had last year, I can see how that'd be a value for him. But for me, I just don't like the long term prospect of Ty Montgomery as a player.
Now, if he changes his number, would that change your mind?
That might. I think the 88 in the backfield.
It bugs me. I have a little OCD, and seeing 88 in the backfield made my eye twitch a little bit. I was kind of like, ugh, no, that's not right.
It is weird. I'll give you that. That's for sure. So that wraps up our year two and three buy low and well, not buy low, but just buy and sell really. And we're going to get to it. We've got a couple other things that we want to get to real quick. So we had someone ask us about in a dynasty league, obviously Gurley or Fournette. And that was asked by at JFM asked us Gurley or Fournette. I'm just going to give you my pointed thing and I'll hang up and listen. I'm just going to say Todd Gurley.
Now, I'm actually stuck with the same situation. I am in my last rookie draft in a home league, and I have gotten back and forth so much with this. I had the 103. I have the opportunity to trade up to 101 and take Fournette. I need a running back, and I'm stacked everywhere else. I need a running back, so I could trade to 101, get Fournette. I could trade 103 and get Gurley, or I can just draft Joe Mixon. And I'm having a hard choice with this. It's a Minnesota league, so I could take Delvin Cook in that game. He has a huge game, pretty much sell him for
the world.
Mm-hmm. But I'm leaning Gurley here. I just think he's a guy that knows what he is, and he is a good running back. I don't know. Like with Trent Richardson, you kind of saw it, and you're like, because, you know, Gurley's comp to Trent Richardson now that he had a bad year.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And
that's lazy analysis.
With Richardson, it was laziness. Like you saw him not hitting the hole as hard as he wanted. He didn't show that super athleticism. People forget that play that Gurley had where he was midair jumping and cut as soon as he hit the turf. I think it was Detroit. But seriously, as soon as he hit the turf, just cut to the outside and took it to the end zone. Like it was crazy. I'm like, nobody should be able to do that. And this guy is fast. He's got all the athleticism. They fixed the line.
He stayed healthy.
Yeah, he did. And somebody in one of our chats said he had 100-yard rushing game in 24 games. I don't know if that's right.
That's true.
Is it?
I think it's one game over 90 yards in the last 20 games. I saw that tweeted out a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
But here's the thing with Gurley. So even with that, Gurley was a solid RB2 last year just based on volume alone. And here's my take on Gurley. I think now that Jeff Fisher's out of the picture, Todd Gurley didn't seem like he wanted to be there last year and just kind of, seemed to be going. Well, right. So, the fish stinks from the head down, right? So I think that with Todd Gurley, it was more of like he knew he was just going to his head smashed in. The team wasn't doing anything. At least the year before, they were competing for the division. But last year, I think, was, you know, Jeff Fisher was there. They kind of knew the end was coming, and Gurley was. It just didn't seem like, I wouldn't say his heart was in it, but he just seemed like he was really down. And with his skill set, I think that this year is a big rebound year. So I know it's not buy or sell anymore, but if you can buy Gurley, I love him. And Fournette, to me, I know he's electric. His tape is great. Big Fournette guy. I'm just not.
I like both players. I like both players. I think I'm going to go side with Gurley with you guys here. I just think his run style, he's due for a rebound, and his run style isn't as to the contact as Fournette is. I feel like Fournette is going to be like one of these kind of players, like an Adrian Peterson, that doesn't shy away from it, and it's going to end up shortening his career because of it. So I'm just going to go long pitcher here, and I like Todd Gurley just because of the less likelihood of sustainable injuries year in and year out.
Yep, and to be fair, I did trade 102 in the UDPL league. To Riley, or I trade. Yes. I got the 102 for Gurley, so I did actually get Fournette at 102. So realistically, I've done this deal,
and you've picked Gurley.
And I've done it. I've done it to have a Fournette share. Like I'm in 11 leagues, so I want to spread out who I have. Oh, and I honestly didn't think I was going to get a Fournette share, so I actually wanted one. So in the UDPL league, that's why I did it, because I just wanted.
That's
a
right.
Share.
I forgot you traded Gurley. That's right.
Yep. And then after the fact, I did that. I actually got him in a Devy league. So I have 2 shares of Fournette and no shares of Gurley. So I need to get a share of Gurley. So I think I'm going to do the 103 for Gurley.
Okay. I have a share of Gurley, and I'm pretty happy with it.
I'm nervous. I'm excited. I don't know these feelings.
So
it can only get better at this point for
Gurley. Oh, absolutely. I expect a big rebound year for Gurley. So I'm all in on Team Todd over here. So the next question that we got was from @TravisNFL, and he said, Superflex startups, how early is too early to draft a quarterback? Also, how does tight end premium affect ADP and startups? So Tyler and I are both in the UDPL, which is Superflex, as well as tight end premium. And I can tell you that tight end, especially in this year's class, affects it quite a bit. So we had the 1-7 was OJ Howard, 1-8 was Evan Ingram, and then I had the 1-9, and I picked David Njoku. And then right after that, the first quarterback went. Chris Whitman took Deshaun Watson off the board, and then we didn't see a quarterback for a while. So, what do you guys think is too early for a QB in a super flex rookie draft?
Well, in a rookie draft, I would honestly say I would go 7 or 8 after the big 6. I would give the okay, and I don't know if he meant startup in general. So, in a startup in general, I would say you go Beckham or Mike Evans, flip-flop, and then quarterback. And I would be okay. I have
that's actually, how ours ended up, wasn't it?
Yep.
Didn't Riley take Luck at three and then I took Zeke?
Yep. And to be honest with you, Jameis Winston is my number one quarterback in my rankings now. And I would take him at 103.
So I just did a super flex startup mock with Kevin, the FF engineer. He was doing some different super flex mocks. And I took on the turn, I had the 12th pick, and I took Winston and Mariota.
Oh, that's back to deadly. Back.
Oh,
that's
yeah. I just want, and part of that was what I saw in our league is DTC John Hurley. He took quarterback and got it out of the way early. And I actually like that strategy quite a bit. So when Winston was on the board and Mariota right behind him, I'm like, give me the two guys that are going to run the NFL for a while in a few years. I'll take that all day in a mock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And carrying into the next question, tips for auction draft and super flex. Kelly and I are in the happy hour bar tab. And I spent early on quarterback before the values got,
crazy.
Yeah, you raised the price for everybody. Thanks.
I did, but I put $250 on Jameis Winston, and right now that's cheap out of a $1,500 budget. $250 is dirt cheap. Yeah, in a super flex, and then I got Carson Wentz at $230, which I thought was a good price. So set the table early, like John Bosch did. He got Cam Newton at 195 or 190.
That's a nice price. At a $1,500 league, that's a great price. Yeah,
that's mind-blowing. So go after him early. You can set the price yourself. People are always scared, and they sit back. Hit the auction early with quarterbacks in a super flex auction, and go as high as you feel comfortable with. But like in our auction, I would honestly have gone 300 plus on Jameis. So,
oh, yeah.
You need the quarterbacks. You need two stable quarterbacks and go spend on them. You can figure out everything else.
Yeah, you can make moves to get the other guys. Quarterbacks don't grow on trees, especially when you're starting two of them. You need to get some.
I'm in the Capitalist Pigs 2 league that Scott Fish puts together. There's 56 teams. It's four copies of each player. There's a $1,000 budget in the auction for startup. And I can tell you that quarterbacks, the $250 was the I want my guy money. So 25% of your budget was in a quarterback. And there was a couple teams. So one team has Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers. So he spent half of his budget on two quarterbacks. So to give you an idea of the values of QBs in a super flex auction, if you want your guy, go get him. I ended up with Kirk Cousins and Tyrod Taylor for less money. I decided to build a little bit more of a balanced team just because that was what my strategy was. But people are out there and they are going to pay big for quarterbacks. So if you're in a super flex startup, if you want some of the elite options, you're going to have to pay. That's what I'll tell you on that. So we got a couple more questions. Let me get back to my thing here. I was switching to between screens. So we got tips for auction draft and super flex. We just did that. So last question was Devy players. So if you guys want to reference some really great Devy information, what was it, Tyler, about a month ago, 5 weeks ago that you guys had Katie Flower on and did a whole Devy episode?
Yep. Katie and myself and, well, Kelly was there. He didn't.
I was there, but I was just taking
notes. He was taking notes.
Yeah, I was taking notes.
He was taking notes. And it was fantastic. It was rich with Devy information. I'm just going to give you a couple of people I love. Equanimeous St. Brown. Love
Notre
him.
Dame,
I
think surprise.
He's going to be a top 15 pick next year if he keeps progressing like he did last year. This guy has it all. And Courtland Sutton, of course. Cam Akers, who won't be eligible for the draft until 2020.
Yeah, baby.
This guy is special. Think Zeke, but maybe better. Like, this is what this
Cam
guy
Akers
could bring.
Is the real deal.
He is legit. And if you are in a Devy depleted rookie draft, take him early because you're never getting him if you don't.
Yeah.
Nope. Kelly, who do you got for some of the guys that you like in for Devy leagues?
You can go with my home state boy there, and it's Saquon Barkley out of Penn State. Darius Geis gets talked about a lot. And Tyler hit on most of the other ones. Yeah, I'm definitely watching St. Brown and Courtland Sutton. So I'm still just in the beginning of starting to scout these guys for next year.
Yeah, I think one of the big ones for me, we'll stick with Florida State, and that's Auden Tate. So didn't get a lot of run there last year with the Seminoles, but they lost three of their main receivers to the draft, and they didn't get drafted, so they're all free agents. Shout out to Travis Rudolph. But Auden Tate is a huge body, much like Kelvin Benjamin, but I think he's more athletically talented. They obviously have
more athletic than Kelvin Benjamin.
I think the Florida State, and I'm a Florida State, I'm a huge Florida State fan, so I watch every one of their games. That's why I love Dalvin so much. With DeAndre Francois, he's going to make sweet music with Auden Tate this year, and you throw Cam Akers in there. They've got another running back, Patrick, who's going to be really good too. So I like Auden Tate. To me, the guy that I love, and you touched on him, Kelly, was Darius Geis from LSU. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute ball of butcher knives. This kid breaks more tackles for his size. You know, it concerns me a little bit, much like you said about Fournette, because he plays very physically, but mm-hmm. Geis is much more elusive. He is just amazing to watch him play the game of football. And it's going to be fun next year if both him and Barkley come out, and the debate's going to be, is it Barkley? Is it Geis?
Yeah. People,
I feel like he's got a little LaDainian Tomlinson in his game. I'm looking forward to seeing him at the next level.
See, with Barkley, I see LT. With Geis, I see somebody that's never, like, we've never seen.
Like, right, he's like next level. Like a mean Barry Sanders.
He's different. And these two running backs are, okay, this year everybody's like, okay, Fournette, Delvin Cook, Joe Mixon, and McCaffrey are going to change the landscape. No.
Next year,
these two guys are going to completely change the running back landscape in Dynasty. Like, I'm telling you, these guys are locked and loaded backs. They are special. And then when Cam Akers comes in, oof.
Do we even mention Nick Chubb? I mean, everybody just kind of forget about him.
Well, I think with George, I love Nick Chubb, but Georgia's got a lot of mouths to feed in that backfield. Yeah. So it'll be interesting between Holyfield, Sony, Michael Michelle? And then you've got Holyfield, though I know, who just had some off the field issues.
They got a freshman coming in that is almost there. He's almost as talented as Chubb coming in. So I think Chubb, hopefully his knee gets all the way, because he was very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I have trouble seeing him recovering completely from that. I think he'll be a solid running back, maybe Melvin Gordon-ish, not as explosive as you saw in college.
Do you think he has a comp to what Willis McGahee did in the NFL? I mean, similar injuries.
I would love to see him come into the NFL and do what McGahee did. McGahee was a very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that knee injury, thinking he's never even going to make it in the NFL.
Nick Chubb's injury was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not Marcus Lattimore bad, but it was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bad.
Very bad. Don't watch the video. Save your eyes.
Don't look that up.
Same with Lattimore.
Don't go to Google and look up horrific running back injuries, because...
You're not going to have fun. It's going to be a bad time.
So that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Dynasty Happy Hour. So just to give you a little background on me, I'm guest hosting. My name's Doug. I actually host the Trophy Time podcast that's presented by tffgurus.com. So you can hear me there, and you may hear me a little bit more in the future here in the Dynasty Happy Hour as a possibility. You can find me at The Fantasy Father on Twitter. So please check me out. I've been playing fantasy football since 1999. I owned Kurt Warner the year that he came out of nowhere in a salary cap league on CBS Sports. So I am old school. And I've been playing some form of Dynasty for quite a while. I remember the first big player that I had was Sean Alexander. I had on a 3-year contract in my fantasy league.
Nice.
A long time ago. So a little bit of background on me. Tyler, where can we find you?
At DHH Gunth. I don't have as deep of a background, but I mean, I love the Kurt Warner story. Coming from bagging groceries to bagging checks.
The Iowa Barnstormers. Woo!
Yeah. Not too far from here.
Yeah. And Kelly, where can we find you?
You can find me at Dynasty Kelly App. Love the story there, Doug, about all the players you own. I had me a Sean Alexander jersey in my day. So
nice.
I can definitely relate for the good years of Sean as a Seahawk.
He had a few elite ones. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then it fell off. Do you remember where he ended his career? Yeah, Washington. Yeah. There you go. You got it.
Well, as an Eagles fan, I enjoyed his tumble.
So Tyler, it's been rumored that you want to do some writing soon, right? You gonna throw up an article soon?
I have a couple ideas in the works. There's a lot of studying that needs to go into them, and if I'm gonna write, I'm like Tool. It's gonna be once every 4 years.
Very deep, very deep thought process. Yeah,
it's gonna have some hard
every
base
4 years. Yep. So
you're gonna play a live show behind a curtain.
Pretty much. So, like, my articles are going to come out every 4 years. I'm going to surprise you. It's going to be out of nowhere. Then you're going to be very disappointed.
Awesome. So we want to thank everyone for listening to the Dynasty Happy Hour this week. You can find us pretty much on all your major podcast outlets, Podbean. You can go to Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. And you can also go to the DynastyHappyHour.com website where you can find our Dynasty Happy Hour network where we have, I think it's, what are we up to, seven different podcasts that are on the network now, Tyler?
Yep, seven. And I'm hoping to convince the Aussie guys to join us.
Oh, nice.
I love their podcast. I love their accents. And I'm going to be on their podcast on Wednesday talking Dynasty.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for having me on. It's been a pleasure talking all these different Twitter topics, and it's been awesome. Great. So,
yeah, it's been awesome.
And we will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
Yep. Get me out of this car. Everybody, remember our slogan, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
Do it.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.